Bibles with you, and we are going to be, I know we've been in Luke for the last several weeks. We're going to change it up this morning. We're going to John. John chapter 21. So we're still in one of the Gospels this morning. And really, we're kind of continuing what we talked about last week. John chapter 21, though, is where we're going to start. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 14. And once you found that, I'm going to ask, if you're able, if you would stand this morning as we read from God's Word. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 14, and this is what God's Word shares. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, love you more than these?" And he says to him, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." And he says to him, "Feed my lambs." He says to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, love you me?" He says to him, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." He says to him, "Feed my sheep." He says to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, love you me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Love you me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not." This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord God, again, we come to you on this day, and we just thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you that we can come together and worship you. We thank you that we can just bring our requests to you and our praises. And we thank you that we can hear from your word. Remind us on this day that you have a message for each one of us. The question is never whether you have a message for us, but it's always, do we have ears that are ready to hear? And I pray, Lord, that on this day we do, that we would set aside all the busyness, all the thoughts of today, tomorrow, yesterday, and for these few moments, just focus on what you have for us. So thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. So if you remember last week, we were talking about two men who the Bible says Satan had a desire to work in their life. Those two men were it was accounts that we know, that we've read many times. The first one was Judas. And it says very clearly in God's word, it says at one point that Satan entered into Judas. But Judas had also made a decision. He allowed Satan to enter into his life. And we know the results of that. He betrayed Jesus, the one that he had followed and served. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We also looked at Peter, the one that we're reading about this morning. And the reality is, he too failed Jesus in a pretty spectacular way, didn't he? And Jesus had even told him ahead of time. He said, "You are going to betray me. And before the cock crows, you're going to betray me." And not just once, not just twice, but how many times? Three times Peter denied that he even knew Jesus Christ. So really, as you look at it, both of those were pretty spectacular failures, weren't they? Would you agree? And Satan had a hand in both. Because it said that Satan entered into Judas, but it also said, Jesus said, Satan has a desire to sift you like wheat, is what he said to Peter. So Satan was working in both of their lives, and really, to a degree, Satan had a bit of a victory, didn't he? Certainly in Judas's life, but also in Simon Peter's, to get him to betray Jesus Christ. But what I want us to also look at is, you know, what happens after that? Because the reality is, all of us at times fail, don't we?
Yes.
Is there anybody in here that spiritually has never failed? Raise your hand. Nobody? None of us. So we're all in the same boat, right?
Right.
Sometimes we think, oh, I'm a pretty strong Christian, and maybe we look at something somebody else is doing, and we think, I'm a stronger Christian than they are, because I wouldn't have done that. But here's the thing, folks, we can't judge other people, because we're all in the same boat. The same boat that at times starts taking on some water, because we are not perfect, and we fail. And when we fail, you know what often goes along with that failure? How do you feel about it afterwards? You feel good about failing? What do you feel? Guilt. Oh, thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
My throat's a little croaky this morning. We feel guilty, don't we? When we fail. Love these water bottles. I won't even stand up straight. We fail, and we feel guilty. And here's the thing. What does that guilt do? You ever have guilt in your life? What does it do? It eats away. That is what guilt does. And the longer it remains there, the deeper and deeper that it eats away. I mean, understand, you know, Christ often put things in terms that people understood, right? He used a lot of parables, a lot of examples. So as we think about things that eat away, we all live in Northwest Ohio. There is something that we should understand that eats away. We just got done with winter, right? How many of you have a car or a vehicle? What happens in the winter in Northwest Ohio?
Rust,
rust happens. Why does it happen? Because it puts salt on the road. And you say there's a purpose for that, although I get frustrated with the amount they put on, but that's a whole other thing. They put salt on the road. Fine. It accomplishes what it needs to. But it gets up and under your car, right? Gets in all the little nooks and all the little crevices, and then it just sits there. And what does it do? It doesn't just sit there innocently, not causing any problems. What does it do?
It eats.
It eats. And it corrodes. And it dissolves. And even that metal that seemed so strong, I mean, we think of metal as being strong, but it reduces it to what?
Rust.
It reduces it to nothing. I mean, we see vehicles drive around that the whole, you know, around the fender well, the whole thing's just gone. It's been eaten away. There were trucks for a while that the whole frame would just get so rusted that it would just collapse. That's what salt does. It corrodes and it eats away. You know what? That's kind of what guilt can do in our lives. When we fail, and we will fail, we'll have guilt. But if we let that guilt sit there, it will corrode and eat away. And you know what it can do? It can devour us. Because that's what Satan desires. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It says that he's a hungry lion seeking whom he may devour. That's what the Bible tells us. That is what he wants us to do, and he can use guilt to do that. Did Judas have guilt in his life when he betrayed Jesus? Absolutely. To the point that that guilt drove him to take his own life. And Satan accomplished exactly what he wanted to accomplish. He devoured Judas and his life. Simon Peter failed, also in a spectacular way. Did he have guilt? Absolutely, he had guilt. He knew that he had failed Jesus Christ in the exact same way that he said he would never do. And Peter was confident that he would never do it. When Jesus told him that he was going to fail him, you know what Peter's response was? Never me. Not me. I will never do that. We have to be careful about saying never, don't we? So how is it that we have someone like Judas that the guilt completely ate away at and Satan accomplished his goal? And then we have someone like Peter who had the same kind of guilt, but look at what Peter went on to accomplish. Bringing thousands of people to know Jesus Christ. In this account we are reading about here in John, it gives us some ideas. A picture of what the difference was between Peter's life and Judas's life. Because this is a conversation that Peter was having with Jesus. And it wasn't likely the first conversation they had had. In the beginning of what we read, it said that this was the third time that Jesus had showed himself to the disciples after he had raised from the grave. Third time he had seen him. Third conversation he had had. Can you imagine the first time Peter saw Jesus? When Jesus has risen and after Peter had denied Jesus, what do you think Peter's demeanor was the first time he saw Jesus? Do you think he kind of hung his head in shame, knowing what he had done? But here we see a personal interaction between Jesus and Peter. And look at how this interaction goes, starting in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, love you me more than these?" He asked Peter a question, didn't he? What was Jesus trying to do here? He was, instead of allowing Peter to be eaten up by that guilt, he was starting to remake Peter, to build him back up into the person that he wanted to be. And folks, this is important that we understand, because when we fail, and like I said, we will, we can either choose to live and remain in that failure, or we can move on from it and become stronger like Peter would. But the question Jesus asks is, do you love me more than these? Who are the these do you think he's talking about? They were around the other disciples, right? And before, Peter was kind of confident, I love Jesus the most. He was a man that was full of self-confidence. Do you think he's being humbled just a little bit? When Jesus said, do you love me more than these? So he certainly could have been talking about the other disciples that were around. But you know, when he asked, do you love me more than? I'm certain that there were other things in life that Peter was attached to. And you know, when Jesus, when they thought he was dead, do you know, I wonder in my mind, did they start thinking, well, now what do I do with my life? Do I just go back to fishing? And just resume my normal life before? So in a way, Jesus was probably asking, do you love me more than that? Are you willing to give that up for me? But he asked him, do you love me more than these? And what is Peter's response? Yes, Lord, you know I do. So when you're asked that question the first time, you'd probably have a little bit of guilt knowing that you had let Jesus down. He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. So how would you feel if that same question was repeated a second time? Because that is exactly what Jesus did. He said a second time in verse 16, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He didn't say more than these this time. I think he already made his point there. But he said, do you love me? Peter's response? Sure. When somebody asks you the same question a second time, what do you start to think?
They don't believe you.
They don't believe you. Do they really believe my response or what I'm telling them, or why else would they keep asking me? And I can only imagine Peter's heart and Peter's mind. He already has that guilt there, and now Jesus is asking him not just once but twice, do you love me? And Peter's trying to tell him, yes, Lord, you know that I do. And finally in verse 17, he says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, love you me? And it says that Peter was grieved because he asked him the third time. At this point, Peter was thinking, he doesn't believe me, that I love him more than all the rest of this stuff, that I love him more than the other things in my life. And here's the thing for you and I think Jesus wants to ask us that same question. How much do we love Jesus? You're asked three times, you really start to think about that question, don't you? Peter was asked three times, and I think by the third response, he was really probably thinking about that question and really beginning to examine himself. How much do I really love Jesus? It's one thing to say it with our mouths, but it's another thing to know it in our minds, isn't it? So this morning, I think Jesus would ask the same question to us. And you don't answer out loud, but here's the question. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? And a third time, do you love Jesus? But also think about what he asked the first time. Do you love Jesus more than?
Is there anything in your life that you love more than Jesus? Is there anything in your life that you tend to put in front of Jesus?
Because what spot does Jesus want to have in our hearts? First spot. The first place.
The first priority. And it is easy to say, yes, I love Jesus, but do you love Jesus more than everything else in your life? That includes jobs. That includes family. That includes spouses. That includes children. That includes any possessions that you have. That includes any successes that you have in your life. Do you love Jesus more than all of those things? That is the question that he was asking Peter.
And again, he wasn't tearing Peter apart. He was building him back up. He was getting him to understand, do you really love me more than all these things?
Because if you do, every time after he asked him that question, what was Jesus' response to him? I haven't talked about it yet, but what did Jesus say at the end of each question?
Feed my sheep.
What he was saying to Peter is, if you really do love me, as much as you're saying you love me, if you love me more than these, if you love me more than anything else in your life, there should be an action that results from that, shouldn't there? That's what he was telling Peter. If I am the number one priority in your life, there is something you should do about it. And that is, he told him, feed my sheep. What does he mean by feed my sheep? He's not asking him to take care of his flock of sheep. What's he asking him?
Take care of the people.
Share my message with them. Minister to them. Do you think that's the same thing he would say to you and I? If you have Christ in your heart, Christ has a job for you to do. First thing is to ask yourself the question, do you love Jesus more than anything else? If you do, there should be a result. You should have a desire in your heart to feed his sheep, to build up people in Jesus Christ, to share Jesus Christ with them. Because that is the kind of love that we should have. What is Christ's love for us like? Unimaginable, unconditional, never fails. Anything else? Sacrificial. Look in Romans chapter 8. You've heard this before, but look there. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. Because this is talking about Christ's love for us. But this is also the kind of love we should have for Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Listen to that for a minute. It says we are more than what?
Conquerors.
That means a conqueror overcomes, right? What did Peter overcome? Himself, shame, guilt. With the help of Jesus Christ, he overcame that, didn't he? Folks, in our lives, I don't care how many times you've failed. I don't care how many times you've let the Lord down. What matters is what you do with it from right now into the future. None of us can change any of our past failures, can we? Would you like to? Would you like to go back and do some things differently? Is that possible? It's not.
But what Jesus was telling Peter as he asked him over and over, do you love me?
He was confirming within him, I still love you. And you know what? I still have a job and a purpose for you, and that's to feed my sheep. Just because you failed doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean you can't still serve me. It is so sad and it breaks my heart sometimes when I talk to people that say, I've gone too far, I've done too many things wrong, I can't come to Jesus now, I've gone too far the other direction. Folks, there is no such thing. That is a lie that Satan tries to get people to believe, and that is exactly what he made Judas believe. I've gone too far, I've done too much, I betrayed the Lord, and now there's no hope. That was Satan's line to Judas, and he believed it and took his own life. Peter could have gone down that road. I betrayed Jesus. I told him I would never deny him, and I did it not once, not twice, I did it three times. And he could have gone down that same road and let Satan convince him it's hopeless from here on out. I can never be the person that he wants me to be now. But Peter didn't go down that road. And Jesus is telling him, I still have something for you to do. I still love you, and you're saying you still love me. Here's my job for you. But look back again in Romans, because it's talking about the power of Jesus' love for us. For I am persuaded in Romans 8:38 that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a powerful love, isn't it? That is a love that is powerful enough to overcome our failures. To overcome the times when we let Jesus down. It overcame Peter's failure. And then Jesus simply told him, feed my sheep. I don't know your life. I don't know your failures. I know my own. I can start to list them. But we want to have lunch eventually, right? Because to be honest, it would take a while. I have failed more times than I would ever like to admit. I've had thoughts and done things that I wish I hadn't done. But guess what? That's where the love of Christ comes in. That's where His forgiveness comes in. That's why we can be conquerors, because of Jesus' love for us that put Him on the cross, that put Him in the tomb, that He rose from, so that when we put our trust and faith in Him, we can have everlasting life and we can overcome those failures and that sin because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You look at Peter's life, what did he do? What did he go on to do for the Lord? So very much. And as Christ remade him, He strengthened him. Peter failed, but in the end, he ended up a lot stronger, didn't he? The end of what we read in the Gospel of John, Jesus was talking about the fact that actually Jesus was telling Peter how he was going to die. You know how Peter died? It doesn't share it in the Bible, but most other historical records indicate that he was crucified. Because of his belief and teaching about Jesus Christ. And many people think he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified, didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. But Peter's faith became strong enough that he was willing to give up his own life for Jesus. Guess what? Peter answered that question, do you love me more than, didn't he? He answered that question with an exclamation point in the end. Because he gave his life for Jesus Christ. Folks, that is the question that God's Word, it asks of me, but it also asks of all of us. What is our level of love for the Lord? Do we truly love Him more than, fill in the blank, anything else in our life? Does it drive us to serve Him, to serve others, to share Him with others? Because that is genuine, true love. If we love Christ, we are going to feed His sheep. If we love Christ truly, we are going to share about Him with others because that's His desire for us. And again, here's the wonderful part. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. If you ask for forgiveness, you have a fresh start. And God is ready to do something with you right now. Right now. And the other amazing thing is, does it matter how old you are? No. I'm going to ask that again. Does it matter how old you are?
No.
It doesn't matter whether you are Ella's age. How old are you right now, Ella?
Seven.
It doesn't matter if you are seven, because guess what? Ella's willing to come up here and read Scripture in front of you all. Isn't that a wonderful thing she's doing for the Lord?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if you're seven. Or 97. Or 107. I don't think we'll go with the upper limit. I don't think anybody's past that in here. God still has things he wants you to do. He is still saying to all of us, if you love me, feed my sheep. Build others up and share me with them. And I pray with all my heart
that that is our desire too. You know, the verse that Ella read at the beginning of our service, it talks about the Lord lifting us up out of the miry clay. You ever feel like your feet are stuck in the mud? We're here in Paulding County. We have sand right here at the church, but I just live a few miles that way. You know what I have? Clay. Pauline County clay. When your feet get stuck in it, what happens? You're stuck. But in that verse in Psalms, it says that Jesus can lift us out of that miry clay. Whatever failure Satan is trying to beat you over the head with, it says Jesus will lift you out of that. And he'll give you purpose. But we have to be willing to let him in our hearts. And I pray that we are. Because you know what? We live in a world that so very much needs fed the Word of God. And it very much needs people that are willing to go out and feed people the Word of God. Are you willing? Do you love Jesus enough to do that? Let's bow our heads. Lord God, I thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you so very much for your Word. And Lord, I thank you that we can look at Peter's life and know that even if we've failed you, doesn't matter how many times, that your love took you to the cross so that we could be forgiven. Not once, not twice, but multitudes of times we can find forgiveness. And as you forgive us, you call us back to you, you strengthen us, and then you give us renewed purpose. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this place right now that has never accepted Jesus Christ, that they would make that decision this morning. Past doesn't matter. What they've done doesn't matter. Lord, just call them to you and help them to seek you and just ask your forgiveness. Lord, for those that are in here that have asked you into their heart many years ago, Lord, we still fail at times. And we can let that guilt eat us up. Or we can ask for forgiveness and you can renew our sense of purpose. And I pray that that would happen in this place today. That we would leave here with a sense of purpose, knowing that you have a job for us to do, and that is to feed your sheep. To be ministers, to be witnesses, to people in the church and out of the church. Help us to realize that is the calling that you have given us. And that you help us to overcome for that reason. Just help that to sink into our minds today, Lord. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, as we close, the altar's open. If you want to come and pray, come and pray. I'd love to pray with you, but if you just want to come and talk to the Lord, that's okay. So I pray that you have a desire to go tell the story. And it's not just the story of Jesus Christ. It's the story of what he has done in your life. And that is the story we need to tell people around us. As we close in prayer, we're also going to ask God's blessing on our meal. We encourage all of you to stay. There's always plenty of food. Doesn't matter if you're staying for the meeting. Doesn't matter if you brought anything. Stay and eat with us. So let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord God, thank you for this day you've given us. But Lord, we also thank you so very much that when we fail, not if we fail, but when we fail, that you are a God that is ready to forgive us because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. That you are a God that not just is ready to forgive, but ready to give us a renewed sense of purpose in our lives. And Lord, I pray this morning that each one that's in this place leaves with a renewed sense of purpose, leaves knowing that you have a job for us to do. Lord, we can look around the world and see the big job that we have. So help us to be faithful. Help us to show our love for you through our actions, not just through our words. Lord, we also pray you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. We just thank you for each one that prepared it. Just give us a good time of fellowship together, Lord. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you. Stay and eat and have a wonderful week.